What's up, MGTOW men? You know what today is. A day that I take a personal email, text, message, or comment, or actually don't know what day it is, but that's what I'm doing today, from a brother and answer with my responses. Take my advice if you want. Leave it if you don't want it, such as the way of MGTOW, such as your way, okay? Like BK. Have it your way in MGTOW. The brother that sent me this text message did so last night, and he provided three questions relating to sex, pursuing a girl he has his eyes on, and the notion of dying alone as a MGTOW man. He just had a birthday recently, so let's all wish him a happy birthday. But more importantly is the notion of a MGTOW birthday. When was yours? You know what? If I could, I would love to get some kind of iCalendar going that we can all share our MGTOW birthdays. And when it's your MGTOW birthday, I will announce it for you, for all of us, and ideally share your MGTOW testimony on this channel. I want to get some MGTOW testimonies going. And maybe you'll be able to share it as your own on my MGTOW channel as well. Always welcomed on a live stream, whatever you want. Thanks for the questions, guys. I will do my best to answer all of them. Number one, it's essentially talking about dying alone, the notion of dying alone. So he asks, growing old and with no family and not wanting to go into a nursing home. He's a statement, but that's the question. So as far as the first question, even if you do have a family, the likelihood that you'll be able to live with them is decreasing by the day, guys. So I've had family members live with me and my parents, not only as elderly, but you know, just as getting on the military, for example, or something like that. I've also had family members that have been elderly that have had to live in nursing homes, even being 30 minutes away from not only, you know, my dad or my mom, but you know, the other siblings, the other children. For many, it's not a sustainable thing financially. It's not a guarantee that the older generation will be taken care of today, especially as the next generation is going to be continually more removed from the care and compassion aspects of relationships that we don't see, you know, in the traditional family structure anymore. So as a Western male, guys, we're Western men, most of us that are listening to this. And the norm of taking care of the elderly and having them stay with you in your home is a dying norm, okay? That norm is obviously much more prevalent in Eastern cultures such as India, China, and Japan, and some in Oceania. I'm sure they can be said for Middle East, but I can't speak with complete certainty, but I do assume that. But in Western culture, that's not necessarily the expectation. Furthermore, you can't guarantee that your children will have homes. You can't do that for the next generation. Many more young people are foregoing long-term investments, and a stable domesticized life is one of them. So where will you go? You may not have a home to live in. So if you're having a kid in 2030, it's 2070, 2060 that you need to live with them, who the heck knows what's going to be going on? All right? That's a risky thing to invest in, and I would not bank on it. So the last thing I want to comment on right here about this is try to avoid making decisions in the future that you think you'll know the outcome for right now. And my first instinct in this question is that you're kind of begging for an answer from me. You would like me to defend your point, so you ask a leading question. So I don't know if that's the case, but we all do pass alone. It doesn't matter if you have 100 wives or zero, okay? We all go alone as one entity. And why not make the most out of yourself, considering that you are this one entity? You could live, let's say, from age 20 to 70 in freedom because you did not have a family. But you're looking, I'm not going to knock you guys if you do have a family, but for this guy's sake, but you're looking solely at the years after that with this question, maybe age 70 to likely at most 90. You would trade 20 years maximum of care for the 50 years of freedom financially, stress-wise, and time-wise? To me, that doesn't seem like it's the best trade-off. Don't get me wrong here. I don't want you to feel like this stupid question. It's not. It's one that many people consider, but I don't deem it a better alternative, okay? Number two, this MGTOW man, he's coming from a Christian perspective, and he says, being Christian, you would not want to be a virgin when leaving this planet. So now this is a question I really can't answer for anyone. This is a personal question that is fueled by our own individual libidos. I believe, and science has shown, that every person has a different libido. We all have different we all have what I call a kind of a different threshold that we either have to meet or that we are right staying under when it comes to sex. And the key for a lot of MGTOW men is figuring out what that is. And while you may believe that engaging in sex acts as a release and satisfies you, making you content that you've had it, you know, instead of going at virgin your whole life, I believe that you will have a greater desire for sex once you've had it. And not because it's better, but because a neural pathway has been created and dopamine levels have been reestablished and reorganized. And the only reason that we do things psychologically and why we act out on why we feel is because our brain tells us to do so. The reality begins in our brain. Without the brain, we don't have anything. We don't have life. We don't have reality. And if the neural pathway isn't there, we don't know that the square root of 144 is, because we don't deem that we need it. We have never created that pathway. If we have sex and we know that it feels good, then we'll expect it more after having it because the neural pathway is there. Obviously, we've always have that ingrained in us because that's something coded into our DNA in order to ensure that we pass on our genes. But the key to breaking an addiction, and kind of getting off of a rabbit hole here, is breaking down that neural pathway and that myelin sheath that has been created, leading you to act out on a piece of knowledge or an urge. This doesn't mean that sex won't be desired if you've never had it. As I've said, we just create and demand higher levels of dopamine. I could be wrong, but this is what I've experienced. So that's why I found that I went 4 years with no FAP, and I ended up breaking it only after having sex with my girlfriend. And so during that time, I needed to masturbate. I would do it every day after going nearly 1,500 days without doing it once. So keep this in mind, my little personal anecdote there, because it will completely shift your reality once you do have sex. And if you are looking at things from a Christian perspective, then the discussion is completely different. Having sex because it's a bucket list initiative is pointless, okay? Especially if you're looking at it from that perspective. As a Christian, sex is not the point. Even as a non-Christian, it's supposed to bring a man and a woman closer. And you know, theologically, if that's how you're going to look at it, it's going to bring them closer. It's not the end. It's not as an end. And that's where sex has been misfigured today. The sex goals that we have today are fueled by Hollywood. It's fueled as a finish line, a 3 second long finish line. Is there anything else in life that we pursue for years and spend thousands of dollars on, knowing that it will last at its climax for only 3 seconds or however long it is for you as a man? I don't know. Is there anything? I can't think of anything, okay? All of our goals, whether it's working out, starting and running a business, learning how to paint, even consuming food, it lasts longer than 3 seconds, okay? Yes, it's far less intense, but the satisfaction lasts far longer. So I just set this background to preface it because I don't want you guys to get into having sex because it's a goal. And for you, brother, sex is not the goal. And for you, coming in as a Christian would be more likely to view sex as something you're willing to die without. But to dovetail off this, I also received a comment today about how I wasn't a true Christian because I'm forgoing having children. So Jesus never said that he would condemn those who would not marry and not have kids. So where I would say that I was condemned is as you said, leading the girl on that I was having sex with, that I was going to have kids with her. This is obviously kind of inferred because through the act of having sex, it's you want to have kids. This isn't always recognized, and I think it's something that a lot of women infer when they're having sex with another guy. Not always, but I think in my case, and there's nothing in the Bible that says you need to marry and need to have kids, okay? Once again, men, 1 Corinthians 7:1, it's good for a man not to marry. This is 2,000 years ago. 2,000. This view that it is a Christian thing to marry has been influenced by pre-existing societal shame that no longer is applied to a Christian man that has premarital sex. That's all it is. And once again, you do as you want to. I won't tell you what way to go. But if you're a virgin and you're considering sex and knock it off your bucket list, it likely has too much value or is overvalued, and you're pursuing it as a finality. The best things in life are pursued because they're a process, not because of the result. So that's just my advice there. But guys, take it or leave it. So the third one is, it's kind of a backstory related comment he brought up. If I was to contact this girl from LA Fitness that he had spoken to before in the gym, was attracted to for different reasons, and I was extremely blunt and asked her why she wasn't willing to go out with me, would that work and should I do it? He doesn't say that part, but I added that in. It's been a while and I'm definitely not over her. So if I told you that all the girls that I had interest in and thought about after meeting only once or twice and feeling a good vibe or misconstruing a good vibe, then I would be blue in the face and you proudly would click off the video. So you'd be like, Hoodie, what the heck did you get so? When did you get so blue-pilled? You're fawning over this girl that sits in the front row and you overheard she has a crush on you. So it must be sixth grade again, and I'm sure you guys have all been there. So you see a girl in class that you have a quick work project with, and you get along, and next thing you know, you end up looking on her Google. You put her on Google, Oh, the Yahoo Answers search. Been there before. So what the heck are we doing in that moment? Okay, maybe it's boredom, maybe it's curiosity, but most of the time it's sexual interest. And we have to understand that when we have these moments when we can't shake a girl off our minds, it's often fueled by sexual intent. And so when a guy sees a girl at a gym, and Immortal Minds talks about this a lot, he's not likely thinking about what type of career she'll have in 10 years. He is thinking about what she will be like when she is having he is having sex with her, and what features he likes in her. Because you know why we like certain features? It's because we want to replicate what we deem as good. We deem something as good because it means survival, and we like survival because all we have is survival. And that's just my red pill short rant for the day. It went coursing through my brain. Hey, there may be some guys out there, maybe 2 out of 100, that actually think and generally do have an underlying interest that goes past sex. When you meet a girl in a fleeting moment like this and can't get them off your mind. But has this ever happened with a girl that's ugly? Ask yourself this. Has it ever? And if this girl isn't ugly, then I bet she has one thing that has you interested. She either expresses that she needs you or she needs help with something. And man, we like being leaders. And if a girl isn't attractive, but if she's helpless, oftentimes that attracts us as well. And so, brother, I'm responding to you, and I don't want to discourage you or look down upon you, because I've been there. Experience with women, not that I've had a vast array compared to some of you guys of experience, but it will add to this. And one thing it will do is detract from the excitement and the mental consumption with the woman that you meet, maybe in a gym, wherever it is. So you mentioned that she was an accounting major, I think. She seemed to be independent, and she was Muslim. So not necessarily herself, but her family was practicing. And those are not good combinations either. So it's a sign that she's independent, you know, but often not in a good way. So you do see more women capable of being accounting majors today. But I don't believe this is something that's inherently natural and is not a sign of some woman that you would want to marry. And you'll often find women like my Mormon ex-girlfriend, use that loosely, who come from a highly conservative family but have left it. They're some of the most dangerous, manipulative, and promiscuous of them all. So I have no idea if this is the case. It's just my warning. But hey, if you want to talk to her, don't take her out, okay? Just ask if she wants to do a workout, maybe a couple lifts together, or grab a protein shake if your gym has a bar in it. Nothing more than that. But once again, this is not a POA channel. It's never going to be a POA channel. So men, as you saw today, I really love hearing from you guys, whether through text, email, comment, tweet, or phone call, whatever it is. Please hit me up if you have questions like this. If you want to send in a video or even accompany my narration, we can set that up as well. Just hit me up at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com. We'll get things popping. Let me know about that birthday calendar from MGTOW Testimonies. I'm coming to get all your guys' emails this weekend. Don't worry. But until then, enjoy your night and go into Freedom Friday, breathing the fresh October air. Know that you don't have to go blow a bunch of money on pumpkin spice lattes for your North Face UGG-wearing rose gold iPhone chick this year. Hoodie's up. Hoodie is out.